Good morning. Good morning. How is everybody? All right. They're distracted. We have a terrible child in here. Well, we hope that this will boost your mood. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. Welcome to the launch service. We're so excited to see you. And today, I am excited about this set list because we get to sing about grace, the grace that God gives us that we don't deserve. And I'm so thankful for it. So let's stand and praise his name this morning.
For me. Oh, oh. All right, good morning, Asbury family. Let's together go to God in prayer. Gracious, loving God, this morning we gather to praise and glorify your name. We gather this morning to give you thanks for the grace that you pour abundantly into us all, just the right portion that each one of us needs. God, we know this is grace that we do not deserve, grace that we cannot earn. We know that it is only freely given through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so today, we thank you, God. We thank you and ask you to show us all the ways in which we extend your grace to others through forgiveness and through love. Now, this morning, we pray for all of those who are hurting, who are in need of healing and in need of your love, of your mercy. We pray for our Asbury community and for all of those, God, who sit on our minds and in our hearts. We pray specifically for Clifford Smith and for Val Carr. We pray for Gene Hammett and Mark Schimmer, for Edith Roberts and Hugh Roberts, for Gail Pulley, Arlen Thomas, Deborah Gangliff, and for Bob and Janie Clements. And God, for all of those who sit heavy in us all, you know who they are, and we know and trust that you are at work in their lives in a mighty way. And in this season of Lent, as we begin our journey towards the cross, help us to remember the mighty work that Jesus did for us on the cross. Help us to remember all that he has taught us, all that he is teaching us, and help us to lean into all that he will teach us. And we thank you, God, for this moment where we can come to you with our burdens and our joys, to pray to you, God, and to give you thanks. We also give you thanks for knowing how to pray. Jesus taught us that with the Lord's Prayer, which we'll now say together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
So excited to sing about grace today. This next song is about what grace can do. I think about, you know, me before my relationship with Christ, and I think about me after and during, and everything he's changed for me, everything I try to do to be like him, and I fall short every single day, but he still gives me grace. This is called Glorious Day. Let's stand and sing it together.
I was buried beneath my shame. Yes. Who could carry that kind of weight? Oh, yeah. It was my tomb.
Grace.
Till I met you. God, I was breathing, but not. Tried so hard to hide. Oh, it was my tomb till I met you.
But then I changed
because you called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. Your mercy has saved my soul.
Yes, it has.
Now your freedom is all that I know.
Oh,
he all made new. Jesus, when I met you, oh, you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. I needed rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing, now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, 'cause when you call my name, to your glorious day.
Amen. Amen. Have a seat. No, actually, no. Pass the peace. That's what I meant. I meant pass the peace. Always give you a leg workout.
Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Asbury. I'm so glad that you're here. As we greet one another in person, you're welcome to greet each other in the chat if you like. You may also use this time to sign in or download the Sanctuary Bulletin by scanning the QR codes or by using the link below. May the peace of Christ be with you as we worship together.
All right. Well, good morning. As you make your way back to your seating area, I just want to take a moment to tell you good morning. Welcome to Asbury. It's a joy and a blessing to be with you today. We have a wonderful first Sunday of Lent here in worship, and so we're thankful that you're with us. I do want to ask you, when you do have time, please take a moment and log your attendance. You can do that by filling out the Connect tab that the ushers gave to you as you walked in, or you can scan the QR code right there. And if you scan the QR code, it's a great way to access everything going on at Asbury. You can put in prayer requests, you can log your attendance, you can find out information about membership, baptism, and you can also sign up for upcoming events such as the Asbury Work Day, which is going to be on Saturday, March 4th, and that's going to be from, I believe, 9 to 2. And so we have a lot of areas at the church that need to be cleaned and organized. And so if you have an opportunity, please sign up for that. We are continuing on with our worship series, our Lenten worship series, which is centered around the movie Les Miserables. If you were here on Wednesday night, Brother Hammett got that started. He is going to continue on with that series this morning. We're going to look at the concept of grace through the main character of the play, Jean Valjean. And so I pray that that is a blessing to you. And as I call the ushers forward to prepare for our time of offering, keep grace in your heart, because it is the grace that God gives us that compels us to do all of the things we do to build the community of believers. And so whether that's the giving of your time, like on an Asbury Work Day, the giving of your talents, like these very talented ushers right here, or the giving of your financial gifts, there's so many ways that you are able to live that out. And we have one wonderful opportunity that we were gonna show a video for this morning, but the sound's not working, about UMCOR. And for those of you that don't know what UMCOR is, that is the United Methodist Committee on Relief. And it's one of the truly great things that the United Methodist Church does, because when there's a natural disaster, when there's a crisis, UMCOR tends to be one of the first groups in and one of the last groups out. And so I love people that are like that. Coming up in March, on March 19th, we are going to have an UMCOR day here at the church where our giving will go towards UMCOR. But on the 12th of March, we are going to make blessing bags. And so that is our next, what we're calling United to Serve event. We will have a potluck that day, and we will make blessing bags that will then be given away on March 19th. So I wanted you to be aware of that so you can think about that as we get closer and in which ways we're going to give to support that organization. Let us pray. Gracious, loving God, we thank you for this blessed moment. We know that we are called and oftentimes challenged by you to participate in the kingdom building that is part of our calling in this Christian life. God, it truly is a blessing and a joy to be here in Little Rock, to be in this community and have an opportunity to make a difference. And so, God, this morning, by your grace, move powerfully among us. Show us the ways in which we are called to support. Through our time, our talents, and our financial gifts, we know that you call us to give all that we can as often as we can. And it's in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen.
At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward and Miss Nicole forward for a children's moment.
Good morning. Hello, hello. Can y'all hear me? How's it going? Good? Are y'all having a good day so far? Why are you looking at me like that? You're just happy to be here. I know. Okay, I want to play a little game. Will you play a little game with me? It's Simon Says. We've all played that game, right? Okay, so here we... But now you're about to. Now you get to. Never in church? You never played it at church? Yeah. Okay, we're going to stay seated while we play it. Okay, are you ready? Simon says, touch your nose. Simon says, touch your ears. Simon says, touch your head. Simon says, touch your nose. Simon says, touch your ears. Touch your head. Ah, I got some of you. Okay, let's do one more. You ready? Simon says, clap your hands once. Simon says, clap your hands twice. Simon says, clap your hands once. Touch your head. Oh, I didn't do a very good job. Okay, we have to do it again. I got to trick some of you. Simon says, touch your ears. Simon says, point to the sky. Simon says, point to the ground. Simon says, point to the sky. Point to the ground. Ha ha. Yeah. All right, so when we play Simon Says, we do what who says? Whoever Simon is, right? Well, in real life, we want to do what the Bible says. Hadley's already heard this. We want to do what the Bible says to do, okay? So we're about to hear a scripture reading where Jesus was tempted to do something that the Bible was not okay, okay? But he is Jesus, and he said, no, I'm not going to do that. I know that's wrong. And sometimes that can happen to us. So I have some examples I want to share with you. I want you to picture yourself playing a game with a friend, okay? So maybe close your eyes, picture it. You're playing a game with a friend. You're playing with a toy. Let's say you're playing with a very special toy. And some other kid, you have a cool toy? So let's pretend you're playing with your toy. It's Iron Man? Okay, we're all playing with the Iron Man toy. And someone, oh, they don't like that. Okay, picture your own toy. It's cool. Everyone picture your own toy. So someone comes up and takes your toy. Would you be tempted to go over and take it back? Yeah, of course. But you know what? The Bible says we should do what, Hadley? We should forgive that person. So we shouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that? I know you wouldn't. Okay, here's another one. Ready? Picture this. You're playing at home. You're playing with some friends or your siblings. You're running around. It's a very intense game. And you run into a table and you knock a lamp over and it breaks. Would you be tempted to blame your sibling? Yes. I would. I have a sister. I would be tempted. But you know what? The Bible tells us that we got to tell the truth. So we shouldn't do that. So here's the thing. It's very normal to be tempted. It's very normal for things to happen, and maybe you think you might want to do the wrong thing. But what matters is what you end up doing. And we want to do what's right and what the Bible says. That is right. All right. Are you ready to pray with me? Okay. So excited. Dear God, help us to do what Jesus did. Help us to do what the Bible tells us to do instead of listening to our temptations. We love you very much. Amen.
Thank you, Nicole. I love that. It was a beautiful message. Do what the Bible tells you to do. I'm going to offer two scripture readings this morning. The first is going to be from Paul's letter to the Roman church, chapter 5, verses 12 through 19, and then we'll get into the gospel according to Matthew. So in the same way that sin entered the world through one person and death came through sin, so death spread to all human beings with the result that all sinned. Although sin was in the world, since there was no law, it wasn't taken into account until the law came. But death ruled from Adam until Moses, even over those who didn't sin in the same way Adam did. Adam was a type of the one who was coming. But the free gift of Christ isn't like Adam's failure. If many people died through what one person did wrong, God's grace is multiplied even more for many people with the gift of the one person, Jesus Christ, that comes through grace. The gift isn't like the consequences of one person's sin. The judgment that came from one person's sin led to punishment, but the free gift that came out of many failures led to the verdict of acquittal. If death ruled because of one person's failure, those who receive the multiplied grace and the gift of righteousness will even more certainly rule in life through the one person, Jesus Christ. So now the righteous requirements necessary for life are met for everyone through the righteous act of one person, just as judgment fell on everyone through the failure of one person. Many people were made righteous through the obedience of one person, just as many people were made sinners through the disobedience of one person. Our gospel reading this morning is in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then the Spirit led Jesus up into the wilderness so that the devil might tempt him. After Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was starving. The devil came to him and said, "Since you are God's son, command these stones to become bread." Jesus replied, "It's written, people won't live only by bread, but by every word spoken by God." After that, the devil brought him into the holy city and stood him at the highest point of the temple. He said to him, "Since you are God's son, throw yourself down. For it is written, I will command my angels concerning you, and they will take you up in their hands so that you don't hit your foot on a stone." Jesus replied, "Again, it is written, don't test the Lord your God." Then the devil brought him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said, "I'll give you all these if you bow down and worship me." Jesus responded, "Go away, Satan, because it's written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him." The devil left him, and angels came and took care of him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, thank you, Nick, and I want to say a special thanks to the folks in the AV booth. I don't know if you can tell, but some stuff isn't quite working today, and one of the things is that affects me is that the sermon had two video clips, and there is no audio in the WAC this morning. So rather than like doing the old Charlie Chaplin kind of thing, and I'm going to tell you some of those. It was really good in the sanctuary this morning, and that was live streamed, and you can watch it if you really want to see the whole thing. I will say this too: we are only about 15 or 20 minutes into the film Les Misérables. We're at the very beginning of the musical, if you've seen that, and so if you want to see what I'm going to tell you about in just a minute, you're welcome to stream that, and I want to encourage you to do that anyway. Would you pray with me? God, we do thank you for being with us today. We pray now that you will give me and give all of us your Holy Spirit so that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. I do want to say a quick welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us online this morning. We're glad that you are here, and you can scan the QR code there if you'd like to sign in and give and find out about upcoming events. Before I move into the sermon proper, I do want to say just a brief word to let you know that United Methodists have been supporters of public education for decades, and you may not know this, but if you dig into the history of public education in the United States, it begins with the Methodists and with the Baptists. Many of the schools that were the original public schools were actually donated by the Baptist Church and by the Methodist Church to our state and local governments so that they could have education for all children. As United Methodists, we believe that public education is a basic human right for all human beings. However rich you are, however poor you are, wherever you live in the whole world, we believe that every child has a basic human right for a good education. So you know the legislation that's going on, you know, that's come before our legislature over the last week. And I encourage you that if you are a strong supporter of public education, that you make your voice known. So our series during Lent is it's based on the book and the film and the musical, Les Misérables. And the story is set in 19th century France. The author of the book, Victor Hugo, said that the story is, quote, a progress from evil to good. The hero of the story is an ex-convict named Jean Valjean, And today we're going to talk about what happened in his life to send him on his journey from evil to good. But I want to begin by sharing a story. I want to get into that by sharing a story about when I was in Fordyce. I was a pastor in Fordyce for 5 years, a long, 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 long time ago. And one morning I was at the parsonage and my secretary called me and she was freaking out. She said when she got to the church that morning, there was glass all over the floor, and she was afraid to go upstairs to her office. It turns out there was glass all over her floor, too. And so I told her just, you know, cross the street and call the police. So sure enough, we had a break-in there at the church, and the guy broke into the church office, and he cut open the petty cash bag, and he took the little bit of money that was there. It wasn't too bad of a hit. But then we had $300 in change that our third grade Sunday school class children were raising for Imagine No Malaria. He stole all the change that the little children had been saving and going door to door to ask for so that they could help children in Africa. Well, their teacher was my friend Vita Calhoun, and I mentioned Vita Wednesday night. She's just one of the sweetest, best people you could ever know. If you don't believe me, you can ask Ashley Burks, and she will vouch for that. She was a friend of Vita's, too. She had a very sweet and a kind soul, and at this time, when this happened, she had terminal cancer. We knew that she did not have long to live, and as a matter of fact, in just a matter of months, a friend of mine and I officiated Vita's funeral. Well, she was the third grade Sunday school teacher, and she was the one that got them excited about raising money for Imagine No Malaria. And so I'll tell you that as a pastor, the very worst part of the whole thing about the burglary was having to call Vita and tell her what had happened. But God is in the business of bringing good from evil. Amen? God is in the business of bringing good from evil. Our insurance company paid for everything that was stolen, and the kids ended up raising more than they probably would have raised if the money hadn't been stolen in the first place. Amen? We ended up being very generous to what they were asking for. I remember, you know, and I don't know if this is this way in Little Rock, but some of us have been in small towns, you know, word gets around, you know, there's like the telephone game, and, you know, so that morning we find out that the church had been burglarized. Pretty soon I got a phone call from somebody, and they were wondering if somebody had broken into the sacristy and stolen the church's silver candlesticks. And that reminded me of Jean Valjean. Now, if you weren't here Wednesday night when we met him, Jean Valjean was a prisoner. His sister and his nephew were starving to death, and so he stole a loaf of bread to feed them. And for stealing the bread, he got sent to prison for 4 years. Because he kept trying to escape, that four-year sentence turned into 19 years of hard labor under the watchful eye of a guard named Javert. Valjean was released, and with a lot of hope, he planned to make a fresh start. But everywhere he went, he had to show his prison papers, and nobody would give him a job. No one would hire him. Everywhere he went, he was harassed and beaten and turned away. And just as all of us are, he was tempted to become bitter, angry, resentful, and hopeless. Until one night, he fell asleep in a cemetery outside the local cathedral. And here's what happened. The bishop of the church comes outside and finds him and invites him to come inside. While he's there, he invites him to come to dinner. And this wonderful, beautiful dinner is all prepared. And he starts just wolfing down the food. He's just starving to death. With these very prim and proper, well-dressed bishops and the people around him. That night, the bishop gave Jean Valjean a bed to sleep in the cathedral. Gave him a whole room.
Our lives are very humble.
Jean Valjean woke up, and he slept downstairs.
We have
and he stole all of the silver of the cathedral.
There is wine here to invite you.
And rushes off. sure enough, he gets arrested.
There is bread to make you strong.
The police take him back to the cathedral where they know that this stuff has been stolen.
Rest from pain.
And they bring him and throw him down at the bishop's feet. In a miracle of grace, the bishop, having heard the story that the police
bless
shared
the
about
food
Jean Valjean's
eat today.
Says,
bless our dear
yes,
sister
he
and
has told the truth.
Our honored guest.
And then he asked him this: why did you? I did give him the silver, and why did you leave these precious silver candlesticks? They are the best of them all. The bishop hands Jean Valjean the church's silver candlesticks and gives them to him as a gift. As a gift. The police go away. The bishop prays a prayer. He says, calls him brother, and he says, with these two candlesticks, I have bought your soul for God. Now use them to do good. Use them. Have you ever received a gift like that? You know, we throw around the word grace a lot in church, but we don't often explain or really, I think many of us don't even really understand what grace is. But grace is unmerited favor. And when I say unmerited, I mean absolutely unmerited. You didn't do anything to deserve it whatsoever. In fact, you got a gift when you deserved to be punished, as Jean Valjean does in the story. And that's something. I mean, how could the bishop have given this gift to someone as undeserving as Jean Valjean? Well, it's because that's what Jesus did for us on the cross. It was a gift of absolutely unconditional love. Now, we throw around the word love a lot, too, and I love this story that I heard a pastor named Kent Hughes tell one time. So this young man was sitting next to this lovely young woman, and my pawpaw would say that the young man was sweet on her, and the setting was very romantic. It was beautiful. There was a clear lake, a brilliant sunset. The young man pulls a ring out of his pocket, and he gets down on one knee, and this is what he says. He says, "Darling, I want you to know that I love you more than anything in the world. I want you to marry me. I'm not wealthy. I'm not rich. I don't have a yacht or a Rolls Royce like Johnny Brown, but I do love you with my whole heart. Will you marry me?" And she thinks about it for a second. She says, "You know, I love you with all my heart, whole heart too, but tell me more about Johnny Brown." So the world tells us that love is about what you get. As long as you are good for me, as long as you look pleasing, as long as you drive a nice car and have a nice paying job and you can buy nice things, I'll love you. And people spend billions of dollars each year on appearance and to buy more stuff so people will like them. And there are people in our lives that encourage us to do just that. I mean, there's probably somebody in your life right now who makes you earn their affection. As long as you're on your best behavior and you do exactly what they want, they will love you. But pleasing them is hard work. It reminds me of when Michelle and I visited the death camps at Auschwitz many years ago. You may remember that there's this big iron gate that is in front of the main camp, and that is where you enter. And on the top of that big iron gate, it has the words, "Arbeit macht frei." And in German, that means work makes free. Work makes free. You see, the Nazis told the prisoners that they held there that if they just worked hard enough, that they could earn their freedom. But you and I know that that was a lie. But it's a lie that so many of us so easily believe. We try to please other people, trying to get them to like us. And the last thing that we want to do is get on their wrong side and incur their wrath. But the problem is that sometimes standing up for what is right makes people angry. You see that so well in Jesus' own life. Sometimes we treat God that way too. I mean, we think that God is out to get us. If we don't dot every spiritual I and cross every religious T, God is going to get us. And so we try to earn God's love. We try to earn it. But friends, we cannot earn it. God's love is not about us. It's about the character of God. It's not that our nature is to be so lovable. It's that God's nature is to be so loving. Now, on this side of heaven, you and I don't experience that kind of grace very often, but occasionally I have. And I know I've shared this story with some of y'all, but you might need a refresher on it anyway. But when I was a senior in high school, I wrecked my mom's car. And when I say I wrecked my mom's car, I mean I totaled that sucker. My mom loved that car until the day of her death. She always said that that was the best car she ever had, which was her way of letting me know that she ain't forgot. Amen? So I was just about 3 or 4 weeks shy of turning seven, of my 17th birthday. And we had moved to Jonesboro the summer before my senior year. I had to drive down, but my orthodontist was in Pine Bluff. It was Dr. Ryburn. Some of y'all might have been to Dr. Ryburn too. I don't know. But I had to drive 3 hours from Jonesboro to Pine Bluff once a month in order to get my braces worked on. So I head out, and back then, you know, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have Bluetooth and stuff like that. But we did have a cassette deck. Amen and hallelujah. And my mom's car was brand new for that time. And for, you know, 1988, 87, it had a state-of-the-art cassette deck. So I grabbed a tape case of some of my very favorite albums, and I had it sitting there in her chair beside me. But my tape ran out. You know, the albums back then were only about 40, 45 minutes long. I get about 45 minutes south of Jonesboro in this little tiny town called Fair Oaks, that's just about 30 miles north of Brinkley, and it was time to swap my cassette out. And so I did what we did back then. Now, this is what we call texting and driving now, so I do not recommend that, amen? Because what I did was my tape ran out, I hit the eject button, it pops out, and the time that it took for me to grab that tape, put it down, grab the next one, and put it in, when I looked up, there was an Arkansas Highway and Transportation dump truck right in front of me. And I did the only thing that I could do. I hit the brakes as hard as I could, and I swerved to the left. Thank God nobody was coming from the other direction. I hit the dump truck. I was probably speeding, too, because I still do. But anyway, I won't lie. Not in the pulpit, anyway. But I knew that I hit it, and I thought, okay, I'll just kind of pull around. And the next thing I know, I open my eyes in my mom's car. I'm in the ditch on the other side of the road. And the car looks like it is somebody took an aluminum can and crushed it all around me. Really, the only place that was still, like, safe was the driver's seat where I was sitting. I get out of the car, I'm probably a little concussed, and I get out and I ask the highway workers how they were doing. All of them were okay. I said, how's the truck? They said, son, you ain't ever gonna hurt this old truck. It did not have a dent in it. Police come, and they do the report, and then I rode in the back of the police car back to the gas station in Fair Oaks, where I had to wait for my father to drive from Jonesboro to Fair Oaks. And I can tell you, that was the longest 45 minutes of my life. I thought he was gonna kill me when he got there. He comes into the gas station, and he gives me a big hug, and he says, and we start walking out, and he says, it's okay, son, we'll get the car fixed. And then he saw the car. And he burst into tears. And he hugged me as tight as he had ever hugged me before. And then he did something that I will never forget. He reached into his pocket, and he pulled out his car keys. And he looked at me, and he said, son, would you like to drive home? Now, Dad's car was a Peugeot 505 Turbo. It was the car that I got to drive to prom and homecoming and things like that. I wasn't even allowed to touch the car. But he handed me his keys, and I got in the car, and I drove home. And I will tell you, that at that moment, there was no son in the world that felt less deserving to drive his father's car. And yet, at the very same time, there was no son on the planet that felt more loved by his father. That's what grace is. That is what grace is. Grace does make us realize how we have failed. It makes us realize our sin. And yet, at the very same moment, it also awakens this unconditional love of God in our hearts. And that is what Jean Valjean, that's what happens for him when he received those silver candlesticks from the bishop. He struggles with that, and he sings this beautiful song called Valjean's Soliloquy. And in that, you can hear him going back and forth. Should he hold on to the hate that is brewing in his heart? Should he hold on to his bitterness? Or should he receive this gift from the bishop and go out and become a person who is worthy of that gift? Can he live his life in a way that blesses others and uses goodness for good? Uses that gift for good. And in the end of that song, the very last line in it is, another story must begin. Another story must begin. He lets go of the name Jean Valjean. He tears up his papers that tell everybody what a sinner, what a prisoner he has been. And he begins a new life, and we'll see where that goes next week. So you see, Paul says that Jesus did this for us. Jesus has given us this free gift in his death and resurrection. On the cross, Jesus said, "This is free. You don't owe me anything for this. My job is to give my life for you, because that is what reveals God's heart to all of us." And it's shocking when Jesus does it, because it's one thing to give your life up for your friends, which he says we should do. It's another thing entirely to give up your life for your enemies. But that is what he did. Paul says that's why there's no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of God's glory, but all are treated righteous freely by his grace because of this ransom that has been paid by Christ Jesus. And then he says, what happens to bragging? Well, that's thrown out. We consider that a person is treated righteous by faith apart from what is accomplished under the law. You see, Jesus said no one has greater love than to give up one's life for one's friends, but he showed us God's love by giving his own life for his enemies. That is true love. In his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, there's a journalist wrote it. His name is Philip Yancey, and I don't know if you've ever heard of Philip Yancey, but I saw this past week that he's been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease recently, and so I want to invite you and encourage you to be in prayer for Philip and for his family with that diagnosis. But in that book, What's So Amazing About Grace, Philip Yancey says this. He says, grace means that there's nothing you and I can do to make God love us anymore. And there is nothing you or I can do to make God love us any less. Do you hear that? Grace means that there's nothing that you or I can do to make God love us anymore. And there is nothing that you and I can do to make God love us any less. And I know that sounds too good to be true, and I know that doesn't sound fair, but I'll tell you this, if it was fair, it would not be grace. Amen? That's what grace is. It is not fair. There's nothing that you can do to keep God from loving you. How do you earn that love? You can't. No matter how hard you tried, you cannot ever repay that debt in full. So another story must begin in your life and in mine. In your life and in mine. And it's a story that in which we share with others the grace that we have received from Jesus Christ. Grace changes us. It transforms us from the inside out, and it frees us from hate and revenge and bitterness. And it sets us on a new path of compassion and forgiveness and mercy. Grace is how God defeats evil. And Paul says that we should show grace to defeat evil too. He says, don't be defeated by evil, but defeat evil with good. So the Sunday after the burglary at Fordyce, I went to the third grade Sunday school class to visit with the kids and see how they were doing. And I shared that verse with them. Don't be defeated by evil, but defeat evil with good. And I asked those third grade kids, I said, so what should we do if somebody steals from us? You know what one little boy said? We should give. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, amen. Let us pray. God, we do thank you for the debt that we cannot repay. The debt that we feel like we owe to your Son, Jesus. And yet, at the same time, we know that you don't ask us to pay it back. You simply ask us to pay it forward, to show your grace to those who hurt us, to those who seek to do harm to us, and to those who have hurt us in the past. God, help us not only to receive the gift of your grace, but to share that grace by loving our enemies and by praying for those who persecute us. For then your grace will come alive in our hearts, and we shall truly be your children. We pray this in the blessed name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, amen. If you'd like to become a part of our church family, you're welcome to do that today. As we sing this last song, you're also welcome to have a time of prayer. You can come down and pray at the rail, or there's a prayer station over here to your right. You're welcome to use that as well. But let's stand and sing together this beautiful song about God's grace. Amazing grace, my chains are gone.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are free, my God, my Savior has raised. has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me.
So glad that you were here today, and thank you so much for being here and for being a people of grace. And I'm so thankful for you and grateful for you. If you'd like to meet with Brother Nick or me and talk about becoming a part of our church family, you're welcome to do that. You can contact me, or we can speak after the service. Just a quick reminder, today we go to Stone Soup at 1:30 and to do some mission and to feed some folks. And so we want to encourage you to either meet us over at Quapaw, you can meet us over there at Quapaw Quarter at 1:30, and that will go to about 4 o'clock. Our Asbury Church Cleanup Day, this is kind of an internal thing, will be this coming Saturday. That's March the 4th. And you can sign up and let us know if you have a particular area that you'd like to help clean in the church facility. You're welcome to do that. Brother Nick mentioned just a few moments ago, I'm really excited about this event coming up in a few weeks. There's a Sunday school class that wanted to sponsor a potluck. And we're going to stick around after the potluck and put together United Methodist Committee on Relief disaster kits. And they're bringing us the materials for that. And all we got to do is put them together. And so it'd be a great time. Anybody from, you know, 4 to 400, I guess, could do it. And we want to encourage you to come and participate in that. And then Umcore Sunday will be March 19th, and we'll take a special offering for that. Umcore is, it's like Nick said, they are often the first ones in and the last ones to leave. Y'all know I went to Bosta High School in Dumas, and when one of those tornadoes went through several years ago, some friends of mine said, look, you know, I won't name names, but some big, you know, disaster response groups that you would know their name had come in almost immediately, but then they left very quickly. United Methodist Committee on Relief was in for years, and we often stay to rebuild and to make lives better over the long term. The reason that I can say that when you give to Umcore Disaster Relief, 100% of that money goes to that particular thing. Like, if you give money and you designate it to what's going on in Turkey and Syria today, it goes straight there, is because we take this special offering in March to pay for their administration costs. So that's why this is so important. We want you to be prepared on the 19th to support that. And then finally, we continue our Les Mis series next Sunday, and we'll meet Fontaine. And because of Fontaine's kind of tragic life, we'll talk about how do we handle it when we suffer without deserving that. And so we'll talk about that next week. I want to encourage you to come back for that. Would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, amen.
We're so glad that you joined us today. If this service has blessed you, I encourage you to share it with someone else. You can do that by sharing it on your Facebook page, or you can text or email the link. If this was your first time to worship with us, there are a couple of ways that you may follow up. Be sure to check out our website at the link below. Click on the visitor information button near the top of the home page. There you can fill out an online connect card to help us to get to know you a little bit better. You may also sign up for our email list and find out how to join Asbury there. You may also connect with us by following us on Facebook and by subscribing to our YouTube page. Whoever you are and wherever you are always welcome at Asbury. If you live in Central Arkansas, we'd love to meet you in person. You can find us at 1700 Napa Valley Drive in West Little Rock. If you have any questions or want to visit about joining our church family, email me at the link below. I look forward to seeing you